Welcome to the Vision Church Podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
I'm going to be reading in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and you can park there for a little while. We're going to be in that passage for the remainder of this message, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And forgive me, I'm a little hoarse today, getting over a cold. I didn't expect it to be negative 50 degrees out today, and my body is not liking it, so just bear with me. Before I read this passage, I want to give you a little bit of color about what's happening here. So in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. And he's on a boat, and he's traveling to a region called the Gerasenes. And in this region, we can gather that it's Gentile territory. In the story, there's a herder that has pigs, right? A farmer with pigs. And Jews weren't allowed to keep pigs. It was an unclean meat. So this is a Gentile area, right? They worship false gods, most likely. This was very much so an area that Jews wouldn't go to hang out in. It was behind enemy lines. And that's the title of my message today, Behind Enemy Lines. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. Everybody say cemetery. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. When he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered, everybody say he wandered, among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man. Then Jesus demanded, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion. Legion is a military term, standing for about 3,000 to 6,000 foot soldiers. See, your life is so important to the enemy that he uses war terminology because he's declared war on your life and your territory. Legion. Because there are many of us inside this man. Many people believe there are thousands of demons inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him and said again, do not send us to some distant place. And that's all I want to read right there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, today, first and foremost, I just want to lift up the nation of the Ukraine, God. God, I pray that as bullets and bombs fly in their direction, that they would not hit their targets, God. God, I pray for an abrupt end to this war, God. And as a result, I pray that people both in the Ukraine and in Russia would praise you for it, God, and recognize you as their personal savior. God, I pray that you would speak through me today, God. That I'd be hidden behind the message of the gospel today. God, speak through me to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to tell you a quick story about camp. And by the way, speaking of youth camp, we're doing youth camp again this year. It's going to be epic. We're announcing our dates at 6:30 p.m. at youth night tonight. So if you are a youth, 6th through 12th grade, get here tonight. It's going to be absolutely epic. We're doing Nuggets and Nintendo, which means we bought like 400 chicken nuggets, and we're going to put Nintendo on this big screen. It's going to be epic. I mean, what more do you need? Plus, we got a word. It's going to be awesome. You guys have to be there. Shameless plug about Vision Youth. Youth is tonight. But our very first camp, many years ago, I remember it like it was yesterday, though. We were so expectant about it. Like, I was a new youth pastor, so I didn't really know what I was doing. I'd never planned a camp before, but I had faith. I was like, we're going to step into new territory. Kids are going to get saved left and right. It's going to be amazing. And so on the day of camp, About 30 minutes before we're supposed to leave, I put everything that we need for camp in the van. All the supplies, all the food, everything is in this van. And the van's good to go. It has a brand new fresh oil in it, brand new tires. It's in perfect condition. We're ready to rock. So I see that the van is a little bit low on gas. So I decided to put gas in it. No problem. We have 30 minutes, right? So I'm driving on the highway and all of a sudden, boom, a huge explosion. And I'm swerving on the highway. I don't know what just happened. I don't know if I just got shot. I don't even know what's going on. Like, I'm just swerving and I swerve over and I pull over and I see that we blew out a tire. No biggie, right? Except there's no spare tire. And it's 30 minutes before camp. And we're supposed to take new territory. And I have everything that we need for camp in this van. And I might have to cancel the first day at camp or maybe even cancel it altogether because I cannot get this van moved. I have no spare tire. Well, God gave us a miracle that day. And within that time period, he sent someone to fix the tire, put a brand new one on there. And at that camp, 11 kids gave their lives to Jesus Christ and we took new territory. But see, when Jesus steps into new territory, the enemy always stands in opposition. See, Isaiah 13:14 says this. It says, the devil has always wanted God's position. He's always wanted his territory. He's always wanted what was of God's. It says, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. The devil has always wanted what was God's. He's always wanted his territory. He's always wanted his position. See, I believe that the enemy is on the offensive right now in your life because you are taking new territory. See, I believe that the spiritual attack that's happening in your life in this season is not an accident. It's not random. It's calculated. Amen. Yeah. That spiritual attack that happened on your marriage last week wasn't random. It might just be because your marriage is setting the example of how to lead a Christian marriage, how to put Christ at the center. And now, as a result, other marriages that were doomed to fail are being restored, and you're stepping into enemy territory. And the enemy has something to say about it. Amen. That attack that happened on your sense of self-worth just recently wasn't random. It might just be that in your new job, you're being too much of a light, and darkness that has prevailed in that area is now being overcome by the light that you are in that place, and the enemy is feeling uncomfortable and has something to say about it. Hallelujah. When you step into new territory, the enemy always stands in opposition. So how does the enemy attack? How does he do it? I believe that this passage highlights three ways that the enemy attacks us today. See, I believe the enemy attacks from dead places. The enemy attacks from dead places. As we see in the story, the man would live in the burial caves, right? He lived in the tombs, in the cemetery, because the enemy likes to live in dead places. Revelation calls the enemy the accuser of the brethren, meaning he wants you to live in your past, in who you were before Jesus, remind you of all your failures, remind you when you were inadequate. The enemy knows that if you're stuck in your past, you'll be ineffective in your present and absent in your future. Amen. When we dwell in the past, we don't step into the things that God calls us to do because we feel inadequate. This is going to sting a little bit. Tell your neighbor, get ready. The truth is, you are inadequate. That don't preach too good, does it? You are inadequate. But see, Jesus didn't die for adequate people. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, while we were inadequate, Christ died for us. You were never adequate. You were never enough. That's why we needed Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. You were never enough. Look at your same neighbor and tell them there's hope. There's hope. Romans 8:11 says this. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Somebody say lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit. Somebody say the same Spirit. Living within you. See, you might not be adequate to step into what God has called you to do, but the Spirit in you is, the Spirit in me is. I might not be adequate, but Jesus is. Amen. See, you know that we need connect groups here or connect group leaders here at Vision. And you know God is calling you to step into that connect group. And listen, you might not be adequate to lead that connect group. You might not know how, but you can trust that the spirit that's within you, the same spirit that called you, that raised Christ from the dead, is going to equip you once you get there. You might not know how to lead a team at a satellite campus in a movie theater, like we're about to do, but you know that we need leaders, and you know God is calling you, so you can trust that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will equip you once you get there. See, the enemy wants you to believe that you're inadequate, therefore uncalled. See, but the Bible says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, your past might have rendered you inadequate, but unlike your past, you have been called from death to life. So the next time that the enemy says you're inadequate or you're not enough, tell him, get behind me, Satan, because I'm stepping into new territory because I got the spirit. Somebody say, I got the spirit. I'm getting hype. I don't know if I have my voice for the whole sermon, but I'm gonna try. The second way that the enemy attacks is by attacking our rest. I believe that this is not something that we preach enough in our churches today. See, one of the afflictions that the man had was he wandered day and night. Somebody say wandered day and night. He didn't have any rest. He was always awake, always wandering. See, I believe in this post-COVID world, right? Like, we've gotten some good things, let's be honest, right? Like, some of our jobs allow us to work from home, and that's awesome. We wake up in the morning, we go to work in our PJs. It's awesome, right? We're taking Zoom calls in our boxers. I'm just kidding, that's nobody here. But, like, it's awesome, right? We go right from waking up to our office. We don't have to drive anywhere. We can sip our coffee while we get ready. It's awesome. It's incredible. But see, what has happened is that there's no longer a division from our place of work and our place of rest. Yeah. Yeah. Let me explain it to you another way. We got to go back to the beginning. Somebody say, go back to the beginning. The beginning of your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, somebody say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God, somebody say, then God, said, let there be light, and there was light. And for the first time in the history of our universe, there was something called light. God created light. God keeps working, though. Then God said, let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this place to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens and called this space sky. And for the very first time, there was sky. But he's not tired yet. He keeps working. He says, then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. And God called this place land and the waters seas. And for the first time ever, there was land and there were seas in the history of our universe. But God's not tired yet. He keeps working. Then God said, let the land sprout vegetation. And for the first time, there was vegetation. But God keeps going. He keeps working. He keeps striving. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night. Let them mark this off the seasons, days, and the years. And for the first time in the history of the world, there was a concept of a calendar. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. And for the first time, there was life. But God doesn't stop there. He keeps grinding. He keeps working. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And so God made human beings to be like him. For the first time ever, there were humans in our universe. He keeps grinding. He keeps grinding for 6 days. Then God looked over all he had made and saw that it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. And for those six days, God grinded. He kept working. So the creation of the heavens and the earth, this is chapter 2 now, and everything in them was completed. Everybody say completed. On the seventh day, God has finished his work. So he what? God rested. He rested. Why? Because he was tired after all that? No, God doesn't get tired. He rested because rest is holy. It says, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was a day when he rested from all of his work of creation, not because he was tired, but because rest is holy. Look at your neighbor, tell him rest is holy. He rested because it was holy. The Israelites were called to work 6 days, and on the seventh day, they were called to rest, and they called it the Sabbath. Rest has been there since the very beginning of time because rest is holy. Amen. On the contrary, the enemy does not want you to rest. Hell is not a place of rest. It's a place of eternal torment. Revelation says this, there is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image. The devil does not want you to rest. Why? Because the enemy understands that unrested saints are ineffective at ministry. See, we have the greatest opportunity in the history of Vision Church to grab territory. We're opening a campus in South Park. Come on, y'all, you can get excited about that. That's going to be incredible. People are going to get saved there by the thousands. I believe it in the name of Jesus. Our young adult ministry is growing so fast, and revival is breaking out. Our youth ministry is growing. Our kids ministry, every ministry in this church is growing. We have the best and the greatest opportunity in the history of our church to grab territory. But it won't happen if you don't prioritize rest. I believe we're going to see revival break out in this city by the likes of which we've never seen before. But it won't happen if we don't prioritize rest. See, I like to call myself kind of a recruiter, right? In ministry, you kind of have to be a recruiter. Whenever I see people that are walking the walk and talking the talk, I go up to them and I find them. I say, hey, come do ministry with me, because I want those people on my team, right? And most of the time, that conversation goes pretty well. People step up to the call. But every now and then, I'll talk to somebody. Before I even tell them about the time commitment or what I'm asking them to do, they'll say, MJ, yeah, that sounds awesome, but I got this going on, and then there's kids, and I got this, and I got work, and I have this class that I take on Tuesdays. I have all this stuff. Really, what they're telling me, though, is that they're burnt out. Church, I wonder, what assignments have you turned down because you have not prioritized rest in your life? We got to get rested. Can I give you a couple rest tips here? I'm gonna give you a couple of practical ones. I believe we can be practical in church. The first tip is, if you have an iPhone, if you scroll down, there's this thing called, what's it called again? Do not disturb. That's my wife. Give it up for my wife. I forgot in the last message too, and she helped me out. She listens to all my sermons. She tells me if they're bad. So if you don't like this, it's her fault. But it's called Do Not Disturb. I just discovered it. It's awesome. I love it. And if you have an Android phone, we might just have to pray for you, but you probably have a feature like this. But it's called Do Not Disturb, and when you hit it, what it does is it blocks notifications from the outside coming into your phone, right? All those emails that you get from work or messages that you get for things that are urgent. Can we be honest? Most things aren't urgent. It blocks those out, and what it allows me to do is it separates my place of work from my place of rest. Use that feature. That's for free right there. The next rest tip that I have is that your no's give power to your yeses. Amen. Your no's give power to your yeses. God has called you to do certain things well, not everything. Amen. See, but if you say yes to everything, you'll be forced to say no to the things that God has called you into. In this world, we want to say yes to everything. Say yes to a couple extra shifts so you can get that promotion. Say yes to this. Say yes to doing this and that. People always want us to help them with stuff. We're forced to say yes to everything. We feel compelled to say yes to everything. But it's okay to say no, especially if it's not something that God has for you. It's okay to say no. Get rested. Somebody say, get rested. Y'all want to finish this story? Mark chapter 5. Let's turn back over. Mark chapter 5, I'm picking up in verse 11. Mark chapter 5, verse 11. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. So Jesus gave them permission. the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Everybody say begged. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns, everybody say 10 towns, of that region, and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. That's all I want to read right there. See, the third way that the enemy attacks is by attacking your peace. But I want to tell you a quick story. A couple months ago, I went over a friend's house. And they had kids. It was awesome. Love kids. I have a kid, a brand new baby right there. 2 months old, Malia. Love kids. But you see, I went over the house and they had that rule that you have to take off your shoes before you get inside. That's perfectly fine. You know, I'm cool with that. We have that at our house. So I take off my shoes, but what I did not know is that their kids like to play with Legos, and they left those Legos everywhere. Y'all know where I'm going with this? And so, unknowingly, I stepped on that Lego. If y'all ever stepped on a Lego before, you know that is spiritual warfare. That is from the devil. Like that, it really was. And I stepped on that, and I was like, y'all, if you want people never to come back to your house, just tell them to take off their shoes and leave Legos everywhere. They'll never come back. Promise you. But I didn't have something to protect my feet when I stepped into that territory. See, the Bible says that the man didn't have peace, right? He would cut himself with stones. Day and night, he wandered, he never rested. He howled, maybe because he was in pain. He never had peace. Track with me for a second. Ephesians 6:13 says this, therefore put on every piece, somebody say every piece, of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Somebody say, standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, somebody say, for shoes. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. See, without peace on your feet, you'll never be fully prepared to step into the territory that God has called you into. And by the way, peace is not found in like the way that you look or the clothes that you wear. Peace is not like a relationship status. Peace is not found in your finances. No, peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. See, we're all called to go somewhere. See, and when you step into your mission, when you step into enemy territory, behind enemy lines, there's gonna be things that you didn't expect. Barriers there. It's gonna be tough terrain. People that are gonna disappoint you. But when the terrain gets tough, don't go to the world for peace, go to Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. See, after the man followed Jesus, right after he asked to follow Jesus, Jesus said, go to your family. Tell them about everything that I just did. But the man didn't just stop there. He went to the 10 towns of that region proclaiming the good news, everything that Jesus Christ had done for him. He wasn't worried about what he looked like, what they thought of him, because for the very first time, he had found a peace that surpassed all understanding, and that is all he needed to go and take territory. Is anyone thankful today for the Prince of Peace? Amen. You notice in the beginning of that story, when Jesus steps out of the boat, the demon-possessed man doesn't attack Jesus. He doesn't throw rocks at him or anything like that. He bows low before him. Luke's account of this story says that he bowed at his feet. That's because even 3,000 demons, 4,000 demons, 5,000 demons, however were in that man, are powerless at the feet of Jesus. The enemy's territory stops at the feet. I got to read the next two stories here because these are powerful. Mark 5:21. It says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he, what? Fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live. And we all know that he did. He told that little girl to wake up, and she woke up and she lived and she was healed. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She heard about Jesus, and she came up behind them through the crowd, touched his robe. Other accounts say that she touched the hem of his garment, meaning the bottom part of his garment, by his feet. Church, I came to tell you today that healing starts at the feet of Jesus. That restoration in your marriages starts at the feet of Jesus. That victory that you need in your life right now starts at the feet of Jesus. Your greatest breakthrough will start at the feet of Jesus. Somebody say it happens at the feet. And so Jesus is stepping out of the boat, and he's saying, lay it at my feet. That thing that you're burdened with today, just lay it at my feet. I can take care of it. The enemy is a footstool. Lay it at my feet. His territory stops at my feet. God is calling you to lay it at his feet. See, what's really cool is that at the beginning of the story, Jesus is the one that takes the first step out of the boat. Before the demon-possessed man even knew he was there, Jesus takes the first step. Isn't that like Jesus, though? Yes. Like, he always takes the first step. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us. Jesus always takes the first step. Always takes the first step. And I believe before Pastor Tyson even asked me to speak, before I knew what was coming up here, before I even read the text, God was calling you and drawing you near to him, drawing you to his feet. Amen. See, Matthew's account tells a different story about what happened here. Matthew's account says that there were two demon-possessed men. How is that even possible? Is the Bible inaccurate? Is it wrong? No. Matthew focused on the two, and Luke and Mark focus on the one who gave his life to Jesus. And by contrast, we can draw the conclusion that maybe the other guy didn't have the same reaction. See, maybe the other guy went back to what was comfortable. Maybe he went back to living in dead places. Maybe the other guy was part of the crowd saying, Jesus, we don't need you. Everything was fine before you got here. I don't need you. See, but the reality is that when you encounter Jesus, you have one of two choices. You can turn around or you can follow him. Two choices. What's yours today? See, John 3:16 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. And maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know where you're gonna spend eternity. If you had your last breath right here in this place, you're not 100% sure that the next one would be in heaven. Maybe that's you. I believe God is drawing you near to him today. I believe there's a reason that you're here today. That's because God wants to know you. And see, salvation is a free gift. None of us are adequate, but Christ is. You don't have to fix your life. See the man that was demon-possessed didn't have to get cleaned up. The Bible says he was naked. He didn't say, let me get ready first, Jesus. Let me put on something. Like, no, he just ran to him. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it figured out. You can still be an addict right now in this place and accept salvation. God will work it. He'll work it out. So if that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And what I want to ask everyone to do just right now in this moment, I just want you to intercede for that one person who might accept Christ today. Just begin to intercede, saints, right now. Just right now, just intercede. And what I want to ask you to do is repeat this prayer after me, everybody in this room, for the benefit of those who are praying it for the very first time. I want you to pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I know today that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I believe you died for me and rose again 3 days later, proclaiming victory over death, hell, and my sin. God, today, I ask that you forgive me. I repent of my sin. Save me, Lord. And in exchange, I will spend my life following you.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com. Or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.